Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So we are in this series we started last week en route to Easter, and we will be celebrating Easter in the next 2 weeks. And the theme is to be awakened to His love. And what we want to communicate, or what we want the people, us, to get, is that how much we are loved by God, and how much God cares for us, and how much that, when we understand that He loves us and He cares for us, how it really can change our lives. Many years ago, me and my wife, we used to watch PBS channel. It was called Antique Roadshow. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's boring, right? But we remember watching that. It was basically the only channel that was available. So we watched that together, right? Remember that? And we were trying to guess what was... What story of the Antique Roadshow is that people would come, bring their stuff in some location where you have some professionals, specialists on different domain, and then people would give a price to it. But one time, this guy brought a painting. And he brings it to this lady, and this lady is pretty shocked by it. Is it a real painting? Is it a fake? And it was a lost painting that was painted by a famous artist in Mexico, and it was worth $800,000 US to $1 million. And this guy had it for like a few decades, and like the story goes, it was behind a door. Was not even looked at. It was just hidden behind a door, and he was shocked to see the value of that painting. And so when I think about the cross, when I think about what Jesus did on Calvary, when we think about Easter, we need to realize the value of it. And sometimes we go through the motion, right? We think about suppers, we think about time off, and it's all fine and dandy, but I really believe it's a great season for us to be awakened to His love, realizing how much we are loved. And there's a quote that I had on the back, and I'm going to show it again this morning. Last week, we had that in the back. Is Christianity is not about trying harder to love God. It's about being awakened to how deeply God loves us. And I believe that's the heart of Christianity. That God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And I believe that who we are and what we do is rooted in that love that He has for us. It flows from that love. I really believe that. And I believe that our walk as believers is linked to responding to this love. And I really believe, like I said, it influences who we are and what we do. And when we think about the greatest commandments, to love God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, you cannot do it without understanding how much you love. It's out of that relationship that you have with God, knowing that you're loved, that you can love again. Because when you have this picture or this understanding or this awakening to the love that God has for us, and when we look at the cross, we look at the journey of history to bring us to that event, it really rocks us. It really changes us when we assimilate it in our lives. And I believe it's important for us to remember one of the things that we're called to remember is that amazing love. If you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love each other because He first loved us. I'm able to love others because He first loved me. When I let God's love penetrate my heart, and I stop at that frame of how much God loves me and what was paid and what was fulfilled, it really influences me. It should. It really brings me to a place of love. And Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, gives a snapshot of why he did what he did as this great missionary and great apostle. He says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why he did what he did. When he received that love, when he understood that love, when he saw the meaning of Calvary, when he saw the meaning of this amazing grand story that we find in the Old Testament of how much God loves us and how much he wants us to be reconciled with him and everything that was done for us to be reconciled with him, it changed him. It rocked him. It gave him another direction, another path. And I think that's what the love of God does. If you look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we know what real love is. So we want to know what love is. We find it in Jesus, because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. See, the motive to give your life for others and to serve others is because you are deeply loved. And so when you realize the service of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the willingness of Jesus to come on earth and to lay his life down, it motivates us, it compels us to do the same. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. What he wants to do, he wants to open our eyes and remove the veil in front of our eyes so that we can see who Jesus is. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 mentions that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Freedom to see who Jesus is. And John the Baptist saw it when he saw Jesus pass by in the early years of ministry of Jesus. He says, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He sent two of his disciples to follow Jesus. He caught it. He saw it. He saw his purpose, that he was there to prepare the way of the Lord. And so when it comes to being believers, I really believe that we need to be captivated by the cross. We need to see how deep, how wide, how high God loves us. We have a snapshot of that in Isaiah 56, verse 6. It says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray or way. We have left God's path and to follow our own. And the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep in silence before the shearers, he did not even open his mouth. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Like the prophetic message of the Messiah written by Isaiah under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that seeing his love, receiving his love, and remembering his love leads us to respond to his love. It really does. How do we live our lives as believers? Is when we respond to this love. And how do we respond to this love? Is when we see and understand and absorb this love. It changes everything. I want to read to you a story, an amazing story of someone that was awakened to the love of Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verse 6, parallel to John chapter 12. And so I'm going to read Matthew 26, verse 6. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Matthew 26, verse 6. From the NIV. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he inclined at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Verse 10. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Verse 13, I tell you the truth, whenever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. An awesome story. We find this parallel story in John chapter 12, Mary, the sister of Martha, brother to Lazarus. And so when we look on this topic of en route to Easter, there's different responses of different people. They were all exposed to the same events. They all heard or saw Lazarus come out from the dead, from the grave, after 4 days. There was no Instagram and no Facebook and all that, but the news got pretty fast around that this guy that was dead for 4 days came out from the grave and was alive again. I think that would get around pretty fast, right? And so they heard about it, if not seen it. They've seen or they've heard the multiplication of the bread and twice where Jesus multiplied food for the crowd that was there. They saw Jesus heal the sick, and they heard his teaching with authority. They heard him speak with authority. So they all, to some degree, were exposed to the same journey or the same events, but not all of them responded the same way. And so when we look on this route to Easter, we see what Jesus did, but we also see how people responded to the Messiah. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to give you a few examples of how people responded to Jesus as he's preparing to go to Jerusalem. The first response, the first people to respond were the religious leaders. One of the things with the religious leaders, they wanted Jesus dead. They were filled with jealousy, pride, and they took offense in the words of Jesus, and they wanted to keep their power and image. They didn't want to see any changes. They wanted to continue to lead, and they wanted to continue to have influence over the people, and they felt threatened and chose control over surrender. They focused on image and power, and they were filled with self-righteousness, and they were looking down on people, and they didn't see their need. When Jesus was given this example that only this Jesus came for the sick, and the sick people need doctors, and he was talking about why he came to do was to bring healing to the soul of humanity, but the Pharisees never saw it. They didn't see themselves as sick. They probably saw everybody else as sick, in need, but not them. And so, and we see them on Palm Sunday criticizing the people that are worshiping the Lord. Another example that we find in Scripture is the example of Judas, where he was in Jesus' circle. He was so close, but so far, right? So close and so far. And with Judas, he was captivated by his own agenda, ambition, and he was obsessed with the things that were linked to him. It was about money, and we find in John chapter 12, verse 6, that he was stealing even in the purse of the Lord, from the purse of the Lord. But he was there, and he never caught what was happening. He didn't see Mary. He didn't see Jesus. He didn't understand what Mary saw. He was so caught up in his own thing. The Bible says that, while we know how he ended in his life, it was not a good way. And tradition will say that it was on the field that he paid for. And the story goes that his desire or his focus was on himself. And so we see Judas just being so close but so far. Then we find the disciples that they responded to Jesus in this story with logic and common sense. In verse 8, it says that this perfume could have been sold and given to the poor. Like, hey, what a waste. And they responded with logic and reason and with common sense. And there's nothing wrong with common sense. It's biblical to take care of the poor, right? It's biblical to take care of people around us. But how they responded was only with common sense, with their own knowledge. The problem is they did not see Jesus like Mary saw him. So they didn't see Mary like Mary saw him. Like I was talking to a young pastor last week. It's a young pastor that started to serve in a church, and we were on a Zoom. And this pastor, before he said yes to the call, he was an engineer, working in a great job, very sharp kid, a lot of potential to get up the corporate ladder, like a future with the organization. And he decided to say, you know what, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to follow the call that I believe that God placed on my life. And so he said no, he resigned and stepped out and started to be trained in ministry, and now he's pastoring. That's not a lot of common sense when you think about it, right? So a part of me would say, are you stupid? Right? You're saying no to this amazing pension plan and great salary and future, and now you're putting that aside to serve the Lord? Like, are you serious, right? When it comes to Christianity, we understand it's way deeper than common sense, right? It's way deeper than just for us to analyze with our own intellect how it looks like. It goes further than that, right? Like, the disciple measured the perfume, but Mary saw Jesus. You can measure the perfume, or you can see Jesus. I believe when you see Jesus, you stop measuring the perfume, because you catch who he is. You see what he's doing. And Mary caught what Jesus was doing. He was going to go to Jerusalem and lay his life down. When it comes to this love, there's not always common sense. Tell me if there's common sense in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being of, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's no common sense. There's no logic there. Why would the maker of the universe take the form of a slave and lay his life down and be mocked and ridiculed and challenged when he is the one that made every one of us, every one of them? There's no common sense and logic there. You can't measure that. You can't go home and say, oh, it's beyond measure. It's beyond comprehension. And so it's important for us to see that. I believe later on, the disciples, I think, I'm inventing this, that they met with Mary and said, you had it all right, Mary. If we would have seen what you saw, we would have combined with you. We would have done what you've done. Like, she poured a year of wages on the head and the feet of Jesus. I don't know how prosperous she was, but a year of wages is a lot. And she responded to that, right? And when I was reviewing this, I was saying, God, I know one day if I give myself, I lay my life at your feet, there will be no regret of loving you or giving you more. I think there's such a blessing on that. But at the same time, I don't want to live with regret to say, hey, one day I could have loved Jesus more. I could have responded more to Jesus. I could have, you know, I could have done like Mary. What we see in the story is that Mary got it. She gets it. She was awakened to God's love. Mary saw what others did not. She poured her heart, her life at Jesus' feet. And we find this through scriptures all over. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart of Christianity. That's how the apostle functioned. And you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul is challenging the church of Rome. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. Can you say that to your neighbor? In view of God's mercy. And when you look at in view of God's mercy, there's a reflection of the past, what God has done. There's a reflection on the future, what's going to happen. And there's a reflection on today, the grace of God. Amazing grace of God before time. Amazing grace of God now. An amazing grace of God in the future, amazing mercy of God. And he says, Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. This is your spiritual act of worship. Why do you lay your life on the altar? Why do you serve God? Why do you present your body, your life as a living sacrifice? Why? It's because of the mercies of God. When you see the mercies of God, when the mercies of God takes a hold of your heart, when your eyes are open to this amazing cross, where we see the display of God's love for us, this redeeming plan of God to reconcile us to himself, it wrecks us. It changes us. I can't just watch the parade pass by. It gets to me. Like, I look at this example of Mary. It's unbelievable. She did not hold back. She's not passive, or she's not a spectator. She wasn't looking for someone else to do it. She stepped up. She didn't even think about, oh, that would be a good idea. It was more than an idea. She did it. Why did she do it? Why? It's because she was captivated with Jesus, knowing that he was going to die. And what she saw, as much as she saw the resurrection of her brother, phenomenal, she doesn't see what we see today. She didn't understand the resurrection and all the benefit of the cross that we find in the gospel, in the epistles that we have. Like, she didn't calculate the cost. She was all in. To the last drop, it was worth it. And she just gave. It wasn't casual. It was a conviction. She had to do something. You see? She had to do something. There was this impulse, this movement in her heart that stirred up her desire to love Jesus back. It makes me think about this lady in the Bible where she has an issue of blood. 13 years, went to see all the doctors. 12 years, went to see all the doctors and no remedy. And then Jesus is passing by, and this lady makes her way, and she touches the garment of Jesus, and virtues comes out of Jesus, and she's healed. And then Jesus says, "Who touched me?" All the disciples are saying, "Everybody touched you, Jesus." He said, "No, someone touched me differently." See? When I look at this story, I tell myself, I want to touch Jesus differently. When I look at this story, I'm challenged to, "Hey, God, help me see the cross and help me see how much you love me." And I understand to some degree how much he loves me, and it has led me, but there's a deeper level. I believe the more you understand and the more you meditate and the more you think on the cross and what happened there, it really stirs our hearts up. It really should. And sometimes we go through the motion, we live our lives, and we forget this amazing act of love that God has for us. And that brings us, and it should bring us, to a place of devotion. Like, we talk about having a relationship with God. And sometimes our relationship with God, we don't really understand what it means. Like having a relationship with God and not a religion, we're in a relationship. But that relationship is linked to devotion. And because in that relationship, there's devotion where Christ devoted himself to die on the cross. And in return, I want to devote myself to him. It's more than just talking to him. It's more just to say I have access to him. It's linked to devotion. Is he laid his life down for me. And not because I have to, but I want to. I want to respond to that love, right? The question I had when I was preparing, when I did listen prayer, when it came to this text, I want to see Mary's response be more than a story. What I would have been willing to do if I would have been there. If I would have been there in that house, would I shut it down like the Pharisees with pride and self-righteousness, critical eye? Ah! Would I shut it down like Judas, where I'm focused on my ambition, being so close but so far, but taking care of my life, and yeah, but not seeing what's happening? I'm aware, but it's not there. Would I do like the disciples? Would I shut things down like the disciples and limit my life as living life through common sense, living my life based on common sense, and to do only what's reasonable? Or would I take this bowl of perfume, this jar of perfume, and pour it on Jesus? Another question I had to ask myself. Would I say, "Oh yeah, that would have been a good idea," and not do it? Or looking around, is there someone else that's going to do it? But would I do it? Like, put yourself in that context. It's a sacrificial love. What an action that she displayed of pouring that on the head of Jesus and knowing and experiencing criticism by the others, but didn't matter for her because she was captivated by who Jesus is. You see, when we're captivated by Jesus, it changes everything. It changes the way I do my life. It influences my relationship. It influences my purpose in life. You know? There's some of you, some of us this morning, is like we do things out of rationality where we rationalize
But we're rationalize stuff, and we're not willing to surrender. Some of us, we're here, and we're pursuing our own things. And yeah, Jesus is there, but you're obsessed with your own agenda, and you're missing out on Jesus. No, en route to Easter, I need to see Jesus. I need to see him with a fresh view, with fresh eyes. And when that happens, it changes everything. Like, I look at Mary in John chapter 12, verse 3. It says, and the house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. And the house was filled with fragrances. Her worship didn't stay private. It filled the room. It touched others. I have to say it's contagious. I can say this to you. If you choose to pour your life at the feet of Jesus, it's going to be seen by him. In the story, it says that her story will be preached everywhere where the gospel is being preached, and that's what I'm doing today, 2,000 years later. It's seen by God when you pour your life at the feet of Jesus. It has a ripple effect when you do that. It doesn't stop at you. There's this fragrance of life. When the believer decides to say, God, I pour my life at your feet. I'm not just following you from a distance in a casual manner. I understand your cross. I see your cross. And here I am. I pour my life at your feet. There's fruits of that. And I think it follows us in eternity, but it influences people around. It influences our kids. I think it influences our marriage. And it influences our workplace, our church, and our community. Because this is where genuineness is found. You know, what's central in the need of the church today? It's genuineness. So much fake, so much parade, so much show. But what is true is when someone pours his life at the feet of Jesus. And it doesn't matter the amount. It's not about the amount of the perfume. It's your heart. When you pour your heart and you say, God, I want to live for you, when you have an understanding and a view of the cross and how much you love, it reaches in. It booms your heart. I don't have the right expression. And that's my prayer for you this morning. My prayer for you is that, how will we rephrase this? My prayer for us is that I would be awakened by his love. And I would turn around and love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, because of how much I'm loved by him. Easter is the greatest demonstration of God's love for us, for me and you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never said yes to this amazing love. You've blocked your heart. You kept your distance. May it be a turning point for you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've declined the invitation. I'm going to tell you, if you choose that, you won't have joy in your heart. You were made for him. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't feel you deserve it because of whatever. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just swamped by all kind of events, by hurts and so on, and you're derailed. I'm going to tell you that God is here to love on you. He wants you to see his love. Maybe you're all wrapped up. You lost out of his love and you're caught today. Maybe your life is casual Christianity, all about convenience. It's about being a spectator. You gave your life to the Lord. It's a ticket in your back pocket just in case all this is true. If how you do it, you're going to miss the train, bud. You're going to miss the train because it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. It's to see his love and respond to his love, and that invites devotion. So my prayer is that you would say, hey, God, I want you to be real in my life. Help me see who you are. Help me see what you've done. Stir up my heart in a new way. Move upon me. Amen. I would ask you to stand.
Would all the eyes close this morning out of respect for your neighbor? How many of you, you've declined the invitation? You've closed your heart up. Hey, you can change it this morning. Can you raise up your hand? It's an act of faith. It's an act of response. I know it's a hard thing to do, but it's a great, great thing to do. And I believe it's the time to do it. Someone here this morning. Anyone here that you feel, thank you, brother. Someone else. Maybe I don't see you. Might not see you. God sees you. Maybe you're here this morning and, like I said, you lost sight. You got wrapped up with life. And you're obsessed by the things of this world, by business, by money, and you lost focus of the cross, and you're living for yourself and you're not living for Him. Again, I ask you to raise your hand if that's you this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Many hands. How many of you this morning that you're living on casual mode? Your Christianity is linked to convenience. And you've been a spectator, and you want to change that this morning. I don't want to be a spectator anymore. I don't want to watch the parade. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand up. Yes, 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 Lord, yes. Father, we thank you so much for your love expressed by your Son Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So we turn to you, Jesus, this morning. We thank you that you forgive our sins. We thank you that you free us from ourselves. You free us from the snares of the enemy. You bring freedom in our lives. We confess our sin. We turn to you. We ask you to invade us. We ask you to open our eyes up. The veil would be removed, and we would see how much you love us, that we would see you in your splendor and your grace, and we would see how you desire to get involved in our lives, how you desire to be present, how you desire to lead, how you desire to be true in us. Father, open our eyes to that and help me, Lord, to respond. I want to respond. I don't want to be hard. I don't want to be a spectator on the side. I want to respond. I want to be like Mary that poured her perfume at your feet. And if I would be in this story, I pray, Lord, that I would do it. That I would pour my love at your feet. I would pour my life at your feet. Father, I just pray that you would stir us up by your Holy Spirit in a new way, in a fresh way, that we would see the cross like never before, that we would understand and grasp your love, how deep, how wide, how high is your love for us, and that we would be taken by this wave of love, and that we would be transformed in the inside, and that we would say to you, here I am. I was made for you. I was made to live a life of worship for you. Father, I pray for the stirring up of your Holy Spirit so that we would live this way, that we would live a life surrendered to you. We give you glory and praise, and so grateful for your deep love for all of us, Father. Lord, we have the prayer room that is open. If you got your hand up, go for prayer. Have someone to pray for you and with you. It's going to be liberating. It's going to be amazing. Blessings on you.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.